Welcome to the Lucid Ess podcast, where I explore everything, because I believe in the infinite, unbounded potential within each of us. This is Shelley, a fellow seeker and a lover of life's mysteries. I invite you to join me and explore your uncharted depths.
It's early morning again, and I wanted to share something that I've experienced in the last few months. I was attempting to explain it to my kids last night, and I thought there may be some use for others as well. But it's funny, I want to start with, you know, when you're listening to like one of those infomercials or even someone that's wanting to share information, but they need to make sure that no one harms himself with it. So I want to start off by saying, I don't know if any of this is actually true. So take it for whatever it is. Because I don't. This is, as I said, I am sharing in real time what I'm learning and what I'm processing and what I'm experiencing. So I don't have any answers, and not that I would any time in the future. So take it for what you will. I want to explain something that I've mentioned before, but I am beginning to understand it even more. So it was the 1st of December, and I knew I had a month before I needed to get on the witness stand for the pretrial. And there was no way, I just knew there was no way I could actually sit on the stand and testify. I was going to absolutely break down and cry, or I was going to scream in rage, or I was going to literally flee the room in fear. I would not be able to speak. I would be shaking and trembling so much. I mean, I couldn't emotionally, mentally, physically get on the stand. So I began in my meditations, and just throughout the day, I would just think about the energy of sitting on the stand. And when I say that, it was like I was being led, I was being told, I was being shown, this is the energy you need to be. So this is like the universe talking to me. This is the energy you need to be in order to sit on the stand and do what you need to do. And I would feel my energy, and I would feel how far away it was from that energy. And I could feel all these blockages between what I currently was, the 1st of December, and where I needed to be by January 2nd. And I had no choice. And I told a lot of people, it's a good thing that I was checkmated, that I had no choice, because I had to get on the witness stand, meaning there were parts of me that were definitely going to die. It's kind of the checkmate analogy is, yes, things were going to die. They must die for me to get on that witness stand. And in the letting go and the dying of those things, I trusted that what needed to arise would arise in their place. And it did happen. So I spent, you know, a month, doesn't sound like much, but when it was every minute of every day, it's a very, very long month, focusing on the energy I needed to become in order to get on the witness stand. And through all of my meditations, through the yoga, just through everything I was doing, I went through so much grief, so much pain, absolute terror and fear to a degree I cannot explain, to helplessness, to shame. All of this just kept going through me and going through me and going through me and going through me. And I slowly, as I allowed myself to just truly experience it over and over and over, just as it arose. I wasn't doing this on purpose. This is just what was arising. And I didn't do anything but just experience it. Just here it is again. Here it is again. And I began to feel myself very, very slowly moving toward the energy of being on the witness stand. Now, I also began to understand there were weird interruptions and sometimes sort of disruptions to that process. And that came, sadly, when I talked to other people about it. And these are people that loved me and cared for me. What would often happen, though, is they would unconsciously or inadvertently insert their fears and their worries and their pains into my process. And so I would be kind of in a place where I could feel myself moving toward the energy I needed to be. I would speak to someone about the trial or the rape or just, you know, something sort of associated with it. And suddenly I would go back and sit down to meditate, and I could feel that their worries and fears or pains were now included in mine. And it was like I had somehow taken on their burden as well as mine. And it wasn't done. There was no maliciousness in it. And I hadn't even really understood that it had happened. And so what I began to understand is the energy of my conversations affected who and how I was and affected me being able to get on the witness stand. And it got to the point where I was so acutely attuned to myself and aware of myself and the energy I needed to be that every conversation I realized began to matter. And this was like life and death. I don't know how else to explain it, but I knew I had to get on that witness stand. I mean, legally I had to, but also spiritually I had to. Like, this was the thing I had to do in my life. And so I realized I couldn't talk to anybody about it anymore. Just because everybody had an energy about it, and which is not wrong. There's nothing bad about this. But everybody had an energy about it, and it wasn't the energy of getting on the witness stand. Nobody else needed to get on the witness stand, just me. And so they could have the energies they had about it and move on with their life just fine. But I needed to do something very specific and particular. And because I didn't know anyone else that had done it or needed to do it, I quit talking to anybody about it. And I would just be very vague and just say, yes, I'm meditating. Yes, I'm having a hard time. But I wouldn't speak to anyone. And sometimes people would be like, do you need to talk about it? And I'd say no. And actually the last week before I went, I literally almost didn't see anyone or talk to anyone. I just was so isolated, just literally alone in my room all day, all night, just trying to make sure I could get myself on that stand. And I did. And I did exceptionally well, meaning I spoke, I was clear, I was concise. I was emotional to the point of where, like, you could see that there were a lot of emotions there, but I could speak. I did well. I did what I needed to do. And I knew that when I got off the stand, I thought I did it. I did what I needed to do, what I've been called to do. And I'd say called to do by powers greater than me. So now in my life, I'm working toward other things. I still have the rape trial to do in August, but that's kind of on the, I would say it's just sitting next to me. It's just always next to me. It comes up at the most insane times. It's a little bit irksome, but I'm patient with it. But there are other things in my life that I'm working through that have stymied me, so to speak, for 15 years since the rape. And the same type of thing is happening where I can feel where I'm being called, where I'm being led. And I can feel the energy of what I need to become. And I can feel the energy of what I am right now. And same type of thing where I'll mention to someone something I'm working on, and they bring their fears, pains, woes, beliefs into it, their energy into it. And suddenly when I go to sit back down and meditate, or when I'm in a space again with myself, I realize, oh, I've kind of been distorted by their story, and I'm not as close to my own dream as I was before. So I've learned this from different teachers. I've heard from many different places, including just old fairy tales and stories about when you're growing something new, you have to, it's a small egg or it's an ember and you have to protect it. You know, if it's an egg, you can't let it be cracked. You've got to keep it warm. If it's an ember, you can't let the wind or water blow it out. You know, you need to protect it and keep it too, you know, soft, gentle breaths. You know, keep it too protected. So the thing that I'm growing again is inside of me. And I need to sort of protect my energy, so to speak. And so I found again that I'm not talking much about what I'm doing. And I'm not going to say it here. I need to protect that little egg, that ember, that part of me that's just barely growing. And only I know what that needs to be. And not, I'd have no idea what it looks like. I have no idea really what it's going to be, but I know how it feels. I know the energy I'm called to become. I know the energy I'm called to become. And that's what I'm moving toward, is becoming that energy. And I have to be very careful as I move through. Again, it's a lot of fear again. A lot of fear is coming up as I move toward this new energy. I have to let go of all the fears, the doubts, the insecurities, the negativity, and the pain. That's what's between me and what I'm becoming, which is surprising to me because there's not a lot of grief, which before to get on the witness stand, there was so much grief that I had to move through. This new one is more about fear, pain, and negativity. And that's why I did that previous podcast about those. So as I'm moving through those to get to where I feel called to become, associated with that becoming is like an external manifestation or an external story. And that's what I'm holding close, is that manifestation, because when I tell people about what I'm trying to physically, what I'm manifesting in this physical world, that's what they have the judgment on. They have no judgments on actually the process of what I'm going through. So I have no idea what this podcast is about. It might not be true, but I'm definitely experiencing it in real time, in real life. These have been my last few months of understanding that there are often times where we feel called to move towards something. It has a specific energy. We need to change our energy to get from where we are to where we feel called. Oftentimes it means going through experiencing the things that we have pushed away, have not wanted to feel, have not wanted to allow, admit. And I would say even allow ourselves to become it for a moment. There have been moments where I've allowed myself to be rage, because that the rage was all there was. And I thought, you can sit here and feel as much rage and be rage on your meditation pillow and not harm anyone. It's simply a sensation, emotion, energy coming up. And I have felt such rage. I've also felt such incredible hate, like hate to my bones. And I've done it sitting on my meditation pillow with my eyes closed. I now know that I can feel incredible rage. I can feel incredible hate. And at the end of my practice, I can feel incredible love. I'm beginning just to feel the absolute wildness of emotions. I also call them energies. I also call them beings. I think each one has come here to teach me, anyway, many things. In my becoming what I need to become, I'm allowing and accepting that I'm all things. I'm experiencing and allowing myself to experience all things to the depths that they arise, meaning I'm not trying to take myself into rage. It is there. I'm not trying to take myself into hate. It is there. I'm just allowing it. But I'm also understanding that I need to tend. I need to hold that nest. I need to hold that egg. I need to hold that ember with a good deal of privacy is really the only word that's coming right now, but I don't think it's right. But that's all I have for now. I do hold it very private, what I'm doing, because as much as, and also what I've learned is I don't want certain people talking or even thinking about it. I don't share what I'm doing with many people because I don't even want them thinking about it. If the universe is energy and your thought is an energy, in my mind, and I've done a podcast about it, your thought has energy. Otherwise, we wouldn't be able to detect it with sensors. I just don't need your thoughts out there. So I'm very careful. And when I do share it with people, I say, I'd like to share what I'm doing with you, and I'm going to ask you only to think the most positive things about it. And if you start to get negative in any way about it, just don't think about it. Just take it out somewhere else. You know, basically just like say, hell yeah, girl, you can do it. Just, you got it. That's all you got to think about it. And then just go on with your day. Like, you don't have to think about it. You know, but if I share this with you, I'm going to ask you to either not think about it or just send it all the love, send it all the goodness. Of course, you know, there's something about tending to those brand new dreams, especially when it's something we have to work through ourselves. And that's where I am in my life. I have some dreams I've wanted for many, many years. And I have so much of my own stuff to work through that I can't have any of yours. I cannot have any of yours. And like I said, you may be the most well-meaning person in my life and not understand that you can insert a weird thing of yours into my dream. And then I'm suddenly like, okay, wait, I got to remove that. Like, it's not mine. So, and maybe that's the other piece of this that's coming up now is be so careful in your conversations with people. Be so careful in your conversations. Your concerns really may not be helpful in their life. Your doubts, probably not helpful. And I'm laughing as I'm saying this because I've been sharing some doubts with one of my sisters about her life. And I'm like, ah, girl, get out of her. I'm telling myself right now, get out of her life. Like, if that's the only way you can show up, then don't show up or stop. And I did tell her recently, I said, look, I'm going to celebrate this part of your life right here because I'm so fucking excited about it. I've decided with my sister, I am going to celebrate the part of her life that is really going well and I'm super excited about. And I no longer think about the part of her life that is really hard for me to support because my negativity and doubt does nothing to help her. And so being neutral is like awesome. So be careful with yourself. Tend to your own nests and embers. Be careful with others, like leave them alone, like meet them in a place either of neutrality, or if you can celebrate a part of them or their life that's going well, do that. Don't send them doubts and negativity. You know, and that's what my last podcast was about. When I have negativity now toward a thing or a person, I unattach it from whatever that is. And I just feel the negativity. I let myself be negative. I'm like, oh, you are feeling negativity. You don't need to project it onto anyone or anything. You are feeling this energy of negativity. Doesn't feel good. Yep. But hey, I would rather just hold my own negativity and sit and whip it out at other people. You know, when I feel pain, I'm going to hold my own pain. I'm not going to project it onto anything. When I feel my own fears, not projecting that. And that's been a big one for me, is not to project my fear onto my own dream. So when I start to do that, I go, nope, we're not touching that. We know from getting on the witness stand. Leave it alone. Work on it when the working on it's good. And most of the working on, this is what I realized, most of hatching an egg, most of getting to where we need to be, we actually don't have to do anything to it. If we just leave it alone and work on all the stuff that keeps us from believing in it, that's it. It's like, I swear I spend all my time just dealing with my fear and my pain and my negativity right now. And when I do that and I deal with those, I start to see little bits of magic happening, little bit, the egg growing, the ember starting to flicker and flame. Like, the magic happens in my life. Again, this is my way of manifesting. Yours may be very different. But it seems to me the best things happen when I focus on me being energetically, so no crap about it, right? I'm not lying to the universe because I can't. When I energetically am authentic and doing the best I can with the energies that are present, that are coming up for me, and I allow and accept and love and appreciate every breath, I see the magic. I see the magic happening in the background all by itself. I don't have to do it. So my life goes better. So the less I try to do about quote unquote life, and the more I just take care of me and the energies that are me. What I would offer the takeaway from this are a couple of things. One is, if you've got a really special dream, you might need to hold it super close and let it be private to you for a while, even though you may have people really, really close to you in your life that love you. And I do. I mean, you know, the people in my life just freaking love me. I can't believe that I've cultivated such beautiful family and friends and community. But I have. But even then, we all have our issues. And we inadvertently, that's this piece, part two, we inadvertently thwart other people and ourselves simply by not understanding the energy of our thoughts and words and deeds. So maybe this is helpful. Maybe it's just helpful to me, which that's kind of where I am right now. I've tried so hard to do things well that I practically haven't done anything. And now I'm just doing things. I'm just doing things that feel right. Doesn't matter if they're good. They're good enough. Okay, I love you all. I hope you have a beautiful day. And it's Ostara, vernal equinox. Bye-bye.
Thank you for exploring with me on the Lucidez podcast. It is my hope that you discovered new wisdom within yourself and are inspired to live your unique strokes of genius.